Blog Talk Radio.
Call it. Right, here we go with the main event of the evening. Ladies and gentlemen in attendance, Bucks and fans joining us around the world. It's time for the Matthew Ball game.
Man, we dedicate our lives to this sport. We do thousands of sit-ups in camp. We run hundreds of miles, you know, for the ones that take it serious. And we just dedicate ourselves fully to our craft, man. We watch tape. We attitude. We moody, and we go into that fight and to land on the line.
College football fans, the College Ball Show is back. He's Marshall, I'm Chris, and we're here to talk about everything that has to do with college football. Of course, the College Ball Show will cover college football all the way till January in the national championship game. Then we switch gears to college basketball. We take that all the way to the title game there in early April. And then our focus is solely on the NBA playoffs, NBA draft, and of course free agency with these new style of two-year contracts. You never know who the hell's a free agent at the end of the year. Week four, we are going to get into to an extent. It is Thursday now, so we're not going to spend a ton of time on week four, but I'll tell you what, it was a great week. There was several teams that really put a stamp on their performance. Wisconsin just dumping on Michigan State in the second half. A&M pulling away from Arkansas was very impressive. We also had, you know, Tennessee comeback style, Stanford and North Carolina winning, you know, really tight games, very tight games. That North Carolina game was at the buzzer. And, you know, we just had a lot of nail-biter, a lot of close-type games. No doubt about it. If you look at week five, man, wow, the marquee matchups stand out. Six top 10 programs going head to head. And we're wrapping up September, which I'd have to say is one of the best, if not the best, September ever in college football history. And that's not an overstatement because of, how September used to be. Many historians are saying this, so I'm not just trying to, you know, gas everybody up thinking that this is just, oh my God, it's the best ever. It really, if you look at the opening day, certain games we got in that week, what looked to be week, a pedestrian-like schedule in week two, definitely was not. We had upsets. We had, you know, very tight games the whole nine. And then these last 2 weeks have just been a blast, man. But I'll tell you what. The biggest news off the field, that's where it came. Not on the field, not with these great matchups coming up. Like I mentioned, six top 10 programs going head to head. We're talking about Les Miles here, okay? And he got canned. You know, that game was almost like who's going to get canned? The loser goes home and goes all the way home. They don't stop off. At work anymore. They're not allowed in the building anymore. That could have been the outcome with the Auburn coach, unfortunately, with both those guys, really, because they've had a really great track record. But Les Miles, and especially the last couple of years, they did develop that quarterback a couple of years back who they finally put some offense up. But other than that, it has been, I'd say, three out of the last 4 years has been a huge, just a tremendous struggle on the offensive end. You can even look at that, you know, runner-up year when, you know, I do feel kind of bad that they had to play Alabama again. If you look at seven games against ranked teams, one of the best regular seasons we've seen to be undefeated anyway, but to have to go back against Alabama, that was a rough one. But, you know, to not score in that game, really tells you something. And that was kind of the beginning to the end, in a sense. It was slow. It was, you know, it took a while to get there. Obviously, rumblings all over the place last year, throughout the year for Les. They brought him back, and they just weren't getting, you know, what they wanted out of it. And really, if you look at how – talk about a tight game ending. You know, if that play counts, Les Miles has his job. And it just goes to show you with Les Miles and tight games pulling off stuff. I guess, you know, that blade of grass and the hat, I guess it just wore thin there. Obviously, LSU, you know, has been a premier – you know, upper echelon, you know, since 2000, early 2000s. They've really have been a great program, no doubt about it. So, although I can totally see the stubbornness to keep Cameron around on offense, when the guy, I mean, everywhere he's been, he's done pretty damn good. He has a great track record. However, beyond that 1 year, and that was 2 years ago when they actually started moving the ball and they had that quarterback who was pretty good, but he even got hurt that year, that serious injury. So, really, it has been an offensive struggle, no doubt about it. What do you think about this? Because in my mind, to me, in the off season, I may have said, here's the deal, Les. We're getting a new offensive coordinator, okay? You can pick him, but we're getting a new one. This guy's got to go. Now, maybe Les, you know, they had that conversation. Maybe Les says, no, man, I'm standing by my guy. And it's not like he has some debt to this guy, you know what I mean? And even if you look at that, what was it, 2007, they grinded it out. They had a running quarterback. Even in 2007, it's not like they were a great offensive team per se. But what are your thoughts here, man? Especially in the middle of the season, it's real easy to get ahead on names by just canning the guy at the end of the season. That gets you ahead just as much as you're ahead right now. Because after all, it's not like you're going to be talking to people for head coaching jobs during the season anyway. You know what I mean? So, for me, personally, to win a national championship, to be a runner-up, to be knocking on the door, and also two SEC championships during the best time in the SEC ever, the last 15 years, to me, I would have waited till the end of the year. It doesn't give you a head start by any means. You could get your head start behind the scenes if you're looking at contracts and who's up and this and that. You know what I mean? You have guys to figure that stuff out. To me, I get why they fired him. The expectations are on fire there. They're all over the place. Maybe a tish too high considering the payoff that they've gotten out of this guy over the years. But I don't necessarily completely disagree with him getting fired. Personally, though, because if you're going to be stubborn with your offense and then it doesn't work, then you got a problem. But personally, I think they should have just waited to the end of the year. I mean, I know there's a difference, but not really in my mind. I think you owed it to this guy to wait to the end of the season. What are your thoughts on Les Miles, man, getting canned and you know, I don't know. I just that's my take on it. If you want to can him, can them, but don't do it in the middle of the season. What's the point?
I completely agree with that. So there's not a whole lot of rebuttal to make for you. One point to add on to it, and I was listening to a Minneapolis sport talk. You know, a good old KFN from back home from where we live or used to live and met, and they had a former Golden Gopher player on. And he had mentioned how during his time for the Golden Gophers when Brewster was fired, how he said the players just kind of, you know, quit going to class and kind of just lost the heart of the season. And I'm not saying that these football players won't go out and try, but aside from what you mentioned of the politics of the team and the fan base and the school and the money, the players really do matter too. I mean, you know, if you were going to bring him back, why yank him, you know, one or two games into the SEC conference? Because, I mean, do you really want to lose your remaining games or, you know, lose a couple of games due to an adjustment? So, aside from all that you said, you're really putting your guys in a tough spot. I mean, I guess you could essentially have the intern coach come in and try to be Les Miles, but that ain't going to freaking work, and he's clearly a different guy. So how are you going
to
really
– You know, you're right. Not to interrupt you, but now they don't have their head coach and their offensive coordinator. So they're down bodies.
Yeah, well, you know, let's try and fix and salvage a year where fans expect 10 wins a year, and now we're going to try to, you know, revamp this from the start of the season after, you know, losing the heartbreaking conference game. It's like, well, what is that doing for the players? I mean, now I get that the players rotate every year and there's a business angle to it, but this isn't a good business move. You know, if we're worried about wins and making money and all that jazz, you know, really, you fire the guy after you were so close in your last year, now you give him one game on a, you know, a heartbreaking loss to a relative rival. I don't know. I'm with you. But, and I know a lot of people don't maybe consider, but the players, like, are you really going to be that motivated to, you know, come step out? I mean, obviously some guys want to make the NFL and you have the pride and dignity of wanting to win, but
you're definitely down two coaches, though, you know?
Yeah, you're losing a step, and it's like, hey, guys, we got a new coach and new coordinator, and, hey, we're about to, you know, get in the thick of SEC conference. Good luck. So,
right.
You know,
yeah.
I don't know.
That's a good point, and at least they do have a good person in charge who has done this a couple times now.
True.
But still, you're down two guys. You're down two guys two guys that have, you know, weathered, especially Les Miles, have gone through this schedule, know the tendencies of these teams that they're going to play, and I think it's ridiculous. And you know, the president, whoever made this freaking athletic director, whoever made this decision all the way, it's super arrogant to me. Like, oh, really? Oh, he wasn't. Oh, that's how you're going to do it. I don't like it, man. Not to a guy that has had a track record and has brought you guys a lot of winning. You know what I mean? I think it's pretty ridiculous, but we know that he'll get a job. No doubt about it. We also know that Houston's probably trying to sign Tom Herman to like a 17-year extension with $14 million bonus. Like, they're trying to do everything. They're trying to maybe, like, blackball or, like, you know, blackmail him. Like, maybe say, hey, we know you committed a crime in 1982, and we have documentation. You know what I mean? Like, good luck. Good luck keeping up. I don't care. We know about extensions. Extensions don't mean a freaking thing except, you know, a little bit more money in the future, but it doesn't usually hold. You know, I think it's smart for Houston and other teams to extend, though, because it does get them more money back in the deal because, you know, bigger squads like LSU, bigger programs, more, you know, fruitful programs, so to speak, they'll just – money's not an issue, so they'll just pay it off. So really Houston would be making money, or other teams would be making money even if they tried to extend it. So it does usually help. No doubt about it. But just kind of breezing through some of week four, because I'm telling you, this freaking week five, Marshall, I mentioned it, six different teams in the top 10 going head-to-head. I'm just going to name them. Just going to name them a little bit. Number three, Louisville against number five, Clemson, at Clemson. Number eight, Wisconsin at Michigan, who is number four in the country. And then, you know, we've had Friday night college football for some time, but generally speaking, they're just mild to good to real mediocre games. You know what I mean? There hasn't been many, like, ones that, you know, where I'm like, oh, that should be good. A lot of times the Big East and now the AAC, they'll have their games on those nights. Once in a while, some West Coast teams, Boise State, stands out as some Friday night games where I go, okay, I'm interested in this one. But I got to admit, as far as regular season goes, I'm really excited for this one. This is kind of interesting. We'll see how good Washington really is. You know, they have a lot of returning starters, I believe 17. They have a coach, a hell of a coach, no doubt about it, in Peterson. But number 7, Stanford, travels on the road to Washington, number 10. And, you know, even other ranked, you know, games past that, man. We are definitely in for a treat, no doubt about it. Let me run through a couple of games, and I'll get your take on it. I already spoke of, you know, Wisconsin taking care of business. Really, after that, I think it was a fumble return or interception return. Whatever happened there, Russo took it back. That game was over after that. The momentum just, it was done. It was 13-6 at half.
It was a fumble.
The fumble for return for a long touchdown, and after that, mm-hmm. that was a wrap. They played well. I mentioned a couple other teams that either got by or played well. Utah snuck by. Sorry, USC, Notre Dame, and USC. Whew, man, this has not been a good season for them. Boy, I'll tell you what, Washington finally got like a test. You know, a lot of people have been talking about. I think it's Jared Browning, the quarterback, and of course the coach there. Plenty to talk about there. I talked about the returning talent. Well, they hadn't really played anybody, and not that Arizona is somebody this year, but we know they're at least going to show up, and they got talent, and they got a good head coach, and they can be effective. And effective they were. This one was in overtime, 35-28. Washington got it. A&M. Like I mentioned earlier, they were in a really nip and tuck game with Arkansas. I felt kind of like Arkansas was winning. I felt good about them in that game while it was going on. But A&M pulled away 45-24. Ole Miss just destroyed Georgia 45-14. Florida State bounced back in a gimme. Tennessee, you know, last year, they were the comeback kids or the front runners. You know, like I'll get out in a lead and then I'll give it up, or I'm always coming back. They play to levels. That's going to catch up to them. But they, you know, they turned up the level, I guess you could say, 38-28. Just went on a rampage in the second half. It was really interesting, man. Florida just couldn't get it going offensively. After that, a fun game with Baylor and Oklahoma State. 35-24, Baylor got it done. Still kind of figuring out what's going on with them. Nebraska takes care of business, being the 20th ranked team last week after that big win over Oregon. That was a great game, 36-33. Oregon really screwed themselves going for all those two-point conversions. But Auburn gets a much-needed win, and now you start to go, Auburn was really close to Clemson. They had a chance to win that technically. Either way, it was a tight game. 18-13, although LSU, it looked like they had won that game, but you know that second had already ticked off the clock. They only had a second and they didn't get the snap off. But man, talk about a high, an extreme high, and an extreme low losing, and then finding out the next day that your coach is gone, man. That's a rough one. My Gopher squad offensively looked really good. We got some guys that are may or may not be in trouble. I've noticed the last couple of years due to usually the press and all the hype that goes around athletes when they get in trouble, or attention, I should say, not hype. That's a bad word for it. Attention, and some of it, you know, we've seen with Baylor where there needed to be a lot more attention, you know, within three people at the school. But that were in charge, by the way. They got some defensive guys out in my squad, the Minnesota Gophers, man. So they're kind of, I don't know. And sometimes these things have worked out where the investigation's over and then the guys don't get in trouble and you're like, huh, okay, well, why the hell were they suspended these last couple games? So it's a really weird one, but we don't know much about it. So I'm not really going to complain about it because I just hope it's a very serious allegation. But my Gopher offensive team is looking great. The defense is looking either really good or not that good. Maybe it's, you know, it looked like to me, and even Clay said, Coach Clay's after the game said most of it had to do with just assignments, and it's fixable. So that's just some stuff on the home front. You know, Marshall, I got this segment called the Hardcore Barn Burner, right? It's for the hardcores. It's going to be a barn burner meeting. It's going to be a tight game. BYU has made it in every week. And I'll tell you what, Marshall, I haven't been off. I mean, look at this stretch of games. Now, they've lost. They're 1-3, okay? However,
okay,
if you want to watch a good team, the BYU Cougars, they won a close game week one, 18-16, that was week one. Then they've had heartbreaking losses, 20-19 from Utah, 17-13 from UCLA, and 35-32 last week against West Virginia. A couple other stats to throw out there. Well, we mentioned the Badgers, and we're going to get into that game. That'll be the first game, Wisconsin in Michigan. Well, that one, you know, once we wrap up week four really quick, I'll let you have your say at the week and all that. But they really made a statement, not just last week, but in the month of September. Two top 10 teams, they won. However, the road does not get easy for Bucky. They got to face number 4 Michigan next, number 2 Ohio State, like a bye week somewhere in there because there's 5 Saturdays in October, and then Iowa and Nebraska, who looks to be on the upswing. So, man, October, you know, the last 2 years the Badgers have had a pass when it comes to their, you know, not having to play Michigan, Michigan State, and Ohio State, where they said, hey, you know, those couple of years, we're going to get you back, and they definitely they got a lot to look forward to, but also, man, they're—I guess they're not going to look—they're not going to look ahead. You know what I mean? Because every game is going to be hard. So I guess that may do it. One more stat, real quick, before I pass it off. This Lamar Jackson, who once again is in a big game coming up this weekend. Obviously, we talked about that a little bit. We're going to jump into that here in a little bit, but man, he became the only player to be responsible for at least 7 touchdowns in multiple games in the last 10 years. This Jackson, man, whew, we talked about him a couple of weeks ago before that Florida State game. And Michael Vick tweeted something about, you know, Lamar Jackson's like 5 times better than I was at Virginia Tech. And I actually tweeted him back, says, nope. And I had some kind of crazy run he made against Florida State in the national championship game. It's like, oh, calm down, Vic, calm down. But four, man, because it was just another great week.
Yeah, I mean, starting off the day, I was happy for Wisconsin. They started a freshman quarterback, which hadn't been done for a while. And it was actually kind of cool because the guy showed some athletic ability. normally, Wisconsin is more so known for just running the ball and having a average to below average quarterback. So it's kind of nice to see a guy with some pocket presence who can make some throws kind of take over. And it's early, but again, I think that defense is very good again this year, Chris. Last year, they led the nation in only allowing about 13, like 0.4 points a game. And I'm not saying it's necessarily maybe the best, but it's probably going to be another respectable defense again. So from the standpoint of Wisconsin, that was a pretty good game to watch. They really did manhandle Michigan State. They got up, they got down 7-0. And then when I sat down to watch the game, they went on like a seven and a half or 8 minute drive. And it capped off with a touchdown. And in college football, we talk so much about momentum. And if you're able to go on the road and have an 8-minute drive where you basically pound the ball, that's definitely very deflating to that team's defense. It shows that you're in control, you're in possession, and you're winning the play at the line of scrimmage. So that was a nice win for the Badgers. But as you mentioned, if they go undefeated through these next couple of weeks, Chris, they're legit. I don't think it's likely. It's probably highly unlikely, but
dude, if they go one loss, they're legit.
Yeah, I mean, the Michigan State win was a good one to start with. And now you got, you know, you're walking into Pandora's box of Ohio State, Michigan, I mean, Nebraska. Good luck. But it was nice to see a quarterback with a presence that appears to have athletic ability and isn't just a check down passing kid that hands off the ball to a stud running back. So that was kind of cool. The game I could probably offer the most insight on was the one I watched of Texas A&M and Arkansas. It was a pretty fun game to watch overall. It had its ups and downs, momentum switching. But what I found pretty fascinating is Arkansas is known for running the ball, and last year their offensive line was as big as any line in football, whether college or pro. And during that game, the main reason A&M won was because of their goal line defense. Arkansas ran the ball very well from their own goal line to Texas A&M's 5-yard line. But there were, I would say, probably 13 or 14 plays, and these were stringed apart throughout the game, where Arkansas couldn't score in the end zone. So, I mean, you had big guys dominating the line of scrimmage, the whole field. But in the end zone, Texas A&M's defense was phenomenal. Speaking of long drives, Arkansas went on about a 14-play drive to start the
Yeah, I think it was 16 or 19.
Quarter.
Yeah, it was a long
something,
one.
Something insane. And they got down to the 2-yard line at first and goal, and they didn't score. And they tried to get fancy with, like, a goal line sweep to kind of a jet sweep and got stopped, basically game over. So I was super impressed with how, you know, goal line defense isn't easy. I mean, you can have maybe a talented defensive line, but to do it 3 to 4 times of series in the games, I was super impressed with that. And that was a fun game to watch. The fourth quarter got a little lame because A&M kind of pulled away, but that's also another hot start for Texas A&M. They're about to be 5-0 for the third straight year in a row. So it's kind of someone's MO. Now, I guess we'll have to see if he can carry that into further success. But those games definitely stood out to me. Ole Miss, as you mentioned, looks great. In their first quarter, they've been winning every first half by 21 points or more. They've been up at halftime. Now, they have not had exactly the best second half because they got rolled by Florida State and they had a choke job against my boy Lane Kiffin. But first half football, Ole Miss is probably the best team in the country. So,
yeah, that's true.
I had to mention Lane. It's been 28 minutes. I mentioned Lane Kiffin. I don't want the show to fall apart. We got to stick to our guns.
That's a good point. Why don't you start mentioning Saban with all these arrests in the last couple of years, like you do with Urban Meyer? Oh, wait, sorry. It's been 29 minutes. I had to mention that.
Oh, the reaction with Meyer, we don't got all day for a show, Chris. I maybe one time this week we have an off week we can mention all of it.
Is that what you're going to say? Aaron
Hernandez definitely sticks out for a candidate of a great human being. But
saved
it
his life.
A fun week.
Too bad he didn't get to New England.
One other point, you know, you mentioned the LSU game. And being a football coach, you know, this year down in Texas, I mean, I keep looking stuff more of a coaching angle and, you know, more of a specific perspective of the game. And when I played before that 1 yard or the 1 second thing happened, it drove me nuts because, you know, LSU was marching down the field and you could see when they were getting ready to snap the ball to spike it or do a play before the final play, the receiver was running. And I had that, like, oh, bleep moment of the quarterback. It's like, dude, you got to make sure all your guys are set. That is the biggest thing in the whole world. When you're trying to run that 2-minute offense of, okay, all right, I'm under center, but wait, is everyone standing still? And have they been there for a second? Because if they haven't been, that ain't good. And you could tell he was obviously nervous. The clock was winding down, getting like around to 10 or 11 seconds. As he snapped the ball, I saw that receiver move, and I was like, oh, dude, that sucks. And then it put him in a time cramp. And realistically, Chris, I guess it is possible to snap the ball the second the ref blows the whistle. But, you know, there was a minor delay from the center, and then the ball game's over. So just it comes down to sometimes just those mental mistakes. You had to be prepared. You know you got to let your guys get set. And that won't be the last time that happens this year either.
And just the clock management really on that drive, you know.
Yeah, that as well. That as well. It's just, you know, I guess my main point is, and we will see this more, but especially in college football where things aren't as smooth in the NFL, you're trying to run down the field and get everything organized, those penalties are deadly because it can cost you yards and run time off the clock. You got to let your guys get set. And when I saw the guy run out, I was like, oh, dude, that might be the end of it. And it came down to cost him because the quarterback did pull out quite a pass. He found a dude in the back of the end zone chilling. You know, it was quite a miraculous pass, but unfortunately it went to waste. Those are really my takeaways from the week. Again, pretty good week. Missouri played a Delaware State team, then they scored like 78 points, and Bama scored like 45. So the teams that cheered for did pretty well, but they were basically playing kind of triple A football. So, overall though, it's been a fun year so far, and I apologize to the listeners that the last week I had a crazy week at school, so we weren't able to do a show. But Chris and I seem to have a plan to make him, you know, find a way to find a night every week. But last week was pretty good. But this week, man, I'm with you.
Last week was great, by the way. But yeah.
Yeah. I know. I'm pissing myself. But I got stuck with a couple of commitments to coaching and school. And I really didn't have a free night. And my free nights weren't your free nights. But 2 weeks ago was phenomenal. But I do believe that this upcoming week has the potential to match it, Chris. I honestly can't recall. Now, I know when we've done our shows, we've had weeks where we're like, oh, dude, I can't wait for the show today. We have, you know, this game to talk about. Like, holy cow. I don't know the last time we've had six teams in the top 10 play each other. I mean, maybe it's happened. I'm not denying it, but it doesn't seem like it has. Well, I'll recall where we'll say, you know, number one Alabama playing number 12 Ole Miss, and number two is playing number, you know, 15. But to have six out of the top 10 face off, that's pretty rare. I the scheduling gods were on our side, Chris, and we're in for what could potentially be a great weekend. And not to jump the gun too much, but in a way, this is a very impactful weekend for the national championship. And I'm not saying that the year's going to be over. And to go too crazy, people say, dude, what the hell are you talking about? But in college football,
it shapes the picture.
It truly does. Where you literally, you can afford one loss, but if that one loss is kind of a sketchy one, or the guys in your division don't lose to someone that bad, it truly can tarnish your season. So of the three teams that will lose this weekend, your year's not over because you're, you know, decently ranked right now, but you're falling down the mountain. If the goal is to be on the top of the mountain and capture the flag and make it to the Final Four, you're basically starting back at ground zero. Whether you lose by 20 or by a Hail Mary, there's a lot of schools that just say, oh, dude, you can roll down the hill. We're going to cut in line right in front of you. So it doesn't break everything because we're only week five, but, dude, if it is your goal as a fan to see your team play on New Year's Day, you better pray to God you win this weekend because, man, suffering that loss in college football, if you do want to actually go for a national title and that's your claim to fame, it's tough to get out over one loss, Chris. Two losses, pretty much kiss a goodbye, but even one is such a punch to the gut, which makes these games, even though they're week five, very, very important.
No doubt about it, and that's what, sometimes I try to hammer that point home to people that don't get college football. They see similar teams in the top 25. I'm not saying they think it's rigged, but they think, oh, you know, the other teams, they have so many advantages, and they can't play with the other ones. Just ask North Dakota State if you can play with the big boys. But They don't understand that every week play at the reg. That's why it is by far. There is nothing close to it as far as team sports. The best regular season, hands down. It's not even close. If you debate, you might as well go vote for Trump. But no, I'll get some play. That's a whole different other show. But if you debate this point, come on, dude. Like, and by the way, that Trump comment, I'm not voting for either. Okay, so that, just to clear that up. But I'll tell you what, this is a great week, man. And I'd have to go back in the memory books, which that's got cobwebs in it, and you know, I'd have to actually Google the shit is what I'd have to do. I don't think that's happened. I don't think that's happened at all. But either way, it's ridiculous. It is. And let's get right into week five. Like I said, six different squads in the top 10 going head to head. You can't run. You can't hide. It's all on the table. And you know, when you talk about Wisconsin, if they were to lose, at least they have some makeup games right going right into it. And although they definitely looked ahead to Georgia, you know, past Georgia State to Michigan State, that's
very
why they probably struggled in that game, you know. They won't be looking ahead, that's for sure. But here's the deal. Michigan State had gotten that big win, or at least it looked like a big win 2 weeks ago. And that's what's funny about college football, too. Like, that was a big win. Well, Notre Dame's 1-3, so maybe that's not as big as win. You know, it does mess with you, no doubt about it. I guess you could say the same thing about Wisconsin and LSU earlier this year. But, you know, it is what it is. My point is everybody's patting Wisconsin on the bat. Like, whoa, man, you're doing great, man. This new quarterback, and, oh, man, everything is great, right? And sometimes when we're dealing with 18 to 22-year-olds, once in a while a 26-year-old, you know, at BYU, you know, I'll tell you what, anything can happen. You know, Wisconsin just obliterated the second half of Michigan State. Great September, no doubt about it. They actually, which I think is a key here, they lead the Big Ten. It's early, but they lead the Big Ten in rushing as far as defensive rushing, 80 yards a game. But they will get a stern test here from the Wolverines' rushing attack in their offensive line, no doubt about it. And let's be honest, the Badgers are not as good at running the ball in the last 2 years, as they have, say, the last 15, 20 years, they're really not as good. Now, that said, they still rush it for like a buck 80, you know what I mean? So it's not like it's bad. But, you know, to their standards, they're usually well over 200, 250 a game, and that's just how they roll. If Michigan is able to corral it, that running game, their talent on the defensive end, line, I should say, not just end, but the line in general, I mean, they can turn that thing into a one-track mind, and that one track will be pass rush and get that young quarterback in passing positions. I really think that is a key for Michigan in this game. And here's another key. For a game that could look a lot like a baseball score, 9-6 in the bottom of the fourth, Wisconsin once again will be without their starting kicker, so that's a little yellow tape for me, a little yellow flag, I should say. Hopefully, it won't be yellow tape at all. But those are some keys when I'm breaking down this game that I'm thinking about, man. I mean, they really need to establish that run game to take the pressure off this young quarterback who did have a good game last, you know, week, but they were playing up, you know what I mean? And he didn't have to do much. What he did was good, but he didn't have to do much. It'll be interesting because Michigan State was more in, I think they said the last five out of the last 6 years, they've won 11 games, but they're in kind of, in a sense, a rebuild for them anyway, because they did lose a lot of talent the last 2 years, whereas Michigan is kind of still on the up and up. You know what I mean? We don't know how good they are, but they have a new quarterback. They got some things that they need to figure out as well. I want to make the mistake of not just because Harbaugh's there, that his team's ready to win a national championship this year, you know?
Yeah, that's a fair point, Chris. And the only time I've really seen Michigan play this year was a game against Colorado where they didn't look too beautiful. They got down early in that game. Colorado played them pretty damn tough. Colorado also beat Oregon, so maybe Colorado isn't exactly a joke of a team. But
yeah, they're pretty good. They destroyed Colorado State too, which usually that's a tight game.
So maybe this is a Colorado Buffalo team better than expected. But and to win at Oregon is definitely a huge compliment. But from what I've seen from Michigan, besides the ESPN highlights, it was a game where they did struggle to seem to maintain possession of the ball. Special teams looked a little choppy. And again, I hate to go cliche on stuff and talk about teams I haven't seen as much. And with college football, it is hard to watch all the teams. But this will be a fun game to watch. If you're a college football fan, kind of like me, who enjoys the sport and is, trying not to talk out your ass about stuff, this weekend's perfect because you get to see the big teams face each other. You don't have to try to watch six games. You can watch three games and get a good feeling for all of them. Clearly, Harbaugh, he is going in the right direction. And you kind of get that feeling of, okay, so as long as they're there, it's going to be Harbaugh against Urban Meyer. Who else is going to step in and try and make it for themselves? Now, clearly, Wisconsin has a chance to beat Michigan State, but then they have to go to see frickin' Meyer after. But overall, Chris, aside from everything I just said, Wisconsin doesn't have that running game you mentioned they normally do, but they do have a guy that in the pocket can actually make a pass where you don't want to close your eyes and, pray it doesn't get picked. So I guess in a way there's kind of a given there's kind of a give and take. It's like, okay, well, we don't have, a Monty Ball or a Ron Dane or something, but we also have a quarterback who, if he has to go scramble on his feet and make a play outside the pocket, it might actually result in a good play. So it's interesting. From the sounds of it, it seems like you've seen Michigan play a little more than me, considering I've only seen kind of a one half at a bar where I was kind of watching other games as well. My insight isn't exactly great, other than the fact that you'd assume Harbaugh's going to get these boys rolling just because he seems to do that anywhere he goes. Overall, I'm just excited. This will kind of be a show-me game. And from this point on, even though it's one game, I'll kind of have a better feeling for Wisconsin and Michigan. And I hope the Badgers win. It'd be a heck of an upset. I think they would probably run out of energy for Ohio State the following week, which, man, is just absolutely brutal. To wrap this up on this take, you always like to bitch about how the Golden Gophers men basketball team always starts the year off with, go to Michigan State, play Indiana, go to Michigan, play Purdue. And it's every year we do our college basketball show. Well, golly, Marshall, the Golden Gophers, who hates them this year? Who hates them this year? I
haven't even looked at the schedule. I didn't even want to.
People have heard your rally cry, and you're like, you know what? That Chris guy deserves a break. Who does Chris not like? Well, he hates the Badgers. Let's stick it to him. So,
right?
I don't know if you can ever trump what is, and there's no political ties to that, but trump the schedule they say of having going to Sparty Land, and then Michigan, and then Urban Meyer, and then Iowa. I mean, dear Lord. So they got on the bad side of someone quick. But I hope Wisconsin wins. I think that stud defense isn't going to get ran over by anyone. If you only give up 13 points a game last year and you bring back a lot of people, that's legit. You're not going to get ran out of the gym. But Michigan probably has more talent than the Badgers do. So I'm excited. It'll be a fun game to kind of get a true good gut feeling of, okay, how truly good is this young kid? And what can I see from Michigan for my first time this year truly focusing in on a game.
I think you did great, but I'm not going to let you off the hook. What's your freaking pick?
Oh, Badgers.
Okay. Just making sure. I was like, I understand that you're getting, okay. Look at this shit.
I'll go 21-18 Wisconsin.
Hey, I got a 20-16 Michigan. That's pretty cool. I do think that, you know, having their backup kicker in there might be a problem. Watch this, Marshall. Watch freaking this, okay? So the Gophers, you got me pissed off. So I freaking went up and looked up their damn schedule. They start with, who do you know, Michigan State at Purdue, Ohio State, and then back at Michigan State. That's how we're starting the goddamn – and then the back – so the first six games we got Wisconsin, Michigan State, Ohio State, and Purdue are the first five out of the six goddamn games. And they wonder why Patino can't get out, get his head out of his ass. Unbelievable.
Oh, well, what, I didn't want to look at that?
It. I didn't want to look at it. Jesus. We played Michigan State twice in the first five games, dude. Like, really? Why do we always have to play Michigan State twice? You know how they there's too many teams where you never play all the teams twice anymore, you know?
Yeah.
Why can't we not? Michigan State, we play those fuckers twice every year. Oh, my God.
I had to mention that because it was a perfect parallel, but the fact that you just looked that up and that's the
schedule. Oh, my God. Oh, yeah.
They were teasing you, Chris. They're like, oh, yeah, we're going to stick it to the Badgers, but wait till Chris checks that Gopher schedule again.
Yeah.
He thought he got one on us. Who is he?
Yeah, I got to just be happy at the Gophers football schedule this year where it's really set up to, including a bowl game, to get to 9 or 10 wins. I really believe that there's a potential for that anyway.
I might have to ship you up some booze for the start of the year for that basketball schedule. Having to face Tom Izzo twice in five games and the Badgers, that's brutal. That is absolutely brutal.
Game. And the road at Purdue and Ohio State. Like,
Jesus.
What the shit?
Wow.
They can't find us just decent squads in there? I mean, what about Rutgers? You heard of that program? They're new to the Big Ten. Give us Rutgers, for Christ's sake. Anyway, my goodness gracious. What a horrible thing, dude. All right. We're going to get on board here. Number 7, Stanford, the Cardinals, out on the West. This is a big West Coast Pac-12 game, no doubt about it. Number 10, they're going, you know, they're traveling on the road to Washington, who returns 17 starters, got a brand new spanking coach, and we all know, usually anyway, the second year of coaching tends to, it kind of matters the pattern of when you got in there and if you lost a bunch of, odds are if you lost a bunch of pros, your coach wasn't getting fired. You know what I mean? That's usually how that goes, unless it's like Miami or something like that, or some program that's just going to develop pros, maybe not at the rate they did, but they're going to. That usually not the case. But we know, you know, that second year usually pays off, no doubt about it. I mentioned that they finally played someone where you can go, okay, let's get a look. Let's get a look-see. And they look good, but Arizona hung around, and they hung around so much that they forced overtime, okay? So – they got tested. This Jake Browning, he looks the real deal. And guess what? He's going to have to be against the stout Stanford defense. Here's my take on it, Marshall. I will give a full advantage at quarterback to Jake Browning in the Washington Huskies. But you could say that, you know, the last couple of years sometimes with the matchup with Stanford. But we know the best all-around player in college football is Christian McCaffrey. And to me, that's enough to take the Cardinals, even as a slight road dog. They're an underdog on this one, just barely. What are your take here, man? Because this, like all the experts and even like Steele and all these guys that really go detail and they know the rosters and they know these guys coming out of high school and they know what they got. They know a lot of shit is what I'm trying to say. And
yeah,
you love Washington. They cannot stop talking about Washington this year. This is a big one here. They're on the road, Stanford. How do you see this one playing out, man?
I haven't seen Washington play, but they, as you mentioned, they really have not had a huge game yet, per se. They have I know they beat Idaho about 58-19. So, you know, dive into that as you may. I will say, though, Stanford, as I mentioned, certain teams have their kind of MO that I've attached to being a college football sport fan. When's the last time Stanford ever got blown out of a game? I mean, if there is a time in the last 10 years, Chris, like, you know, call me out and let me know. So they run the ball really well, play very gritty defense, and their coach, Shaw, is never seems to be blown out. So you're taking an extremely stable program, playing the Washington team who's not been ranked this high. And I don't even know if they're ranked this high when Jake Locker was quarterback. I know they had success, and I enjoyed watching Locker play, but if they made the top 10, it wasn't that often. It seemed like Locker was kind of a man that helped build them up to become a decent program, but they would still lose 5 or 6 games a year. So you have one of the most consistent, stable programs in football over the last 8 years, playing a team that has finally joined some success this year, but has really proven nothing. So maybe the ESPN analysts you mentioned, Chris, are on something. But also, as we've found out many times, as such as playing against Urban Meyer or Saban or a top dog, you know, you normally have to get beat up a little bit when you first get to that elite level. And I'm not saying that Stanford world beaters, but this is a whole new scenario that I cannot recall the Washington Huskies have had to play a game like this in the last probably 7-8 years. Again, Locker was good, but they normally average 5 or 6 losses a year. This is a dude, we're in the top 10. We're hosting Stanford at home. I mean, it sounds kind of weird. With all those X factors I'm involved in the game, Chris, it's going to be tough to win. The mindset of going from a team that's, you know, building up to a team that's, dude, we're in the driver's seat, we're a 3-point field goal. Like, holy cow, what does this feel like? I'm not saying they can't get it done, but it is kind of the big man on campus effect that happened to Mississippi State and Ole Miss a couple of years ago, where they were both ranked top. And you said that the rest of our seasons kind of fell apart. I mean, obviously on the football field matters and the skill matters, but when the mindset changes, that does take a while to get used to it. Normally teams don't just run into the championship slot when they haven't been there for a long time and just, you know, not go without a hiccup. And again, Stanford, they don't get smoked. So I'm expecting a close, fun game. That stadium does shake the way it's built. It's kind of an old-school-looking kind of almost hockey rink, as wide as it is. And most people will be going nuts with the kind of Seattle Seahawks fan mentality to it. It should be a lot of fun to watch, but I'm going to lean towards Stanford, you know, winning on a late second field goal. I just think this is too big of a scene for Washington, and maybe that quarterback will prove me wrong, Chris, but I'm going Stanford in a tight one.
Yeah, so am I. I just don't trust them. 27-20, I got at Stanford, getting it done on the road, doing more than just covering, actually winning the game. Game's a little bit under the radar. I think it'll help being on a Friday. It's easy to be under the radar, though, with the two games we talked about, or the game we talked about before, including number 3 Louisville at number 5 Clemson. We talked about, you know, impactful games, right? Well, I'd probably say this is the most impactful game of the year thus far. And here's why.
Do you like the nickname LaMarvelous? Do you like that for a nickname for him? I don't. I've heard some of the ESPN people say his nickname is LaMarvelous. Thumbs up, thumbs down, neutral, dumb, stupid, cool.
I'll just say this. It's September. So we got some time to figure that out. I'm not crazy about it. It's
neither
September.
Okay.
So they'll have plenty of time to figure that out. They'll have plenty of time to figure that out. But he came on last year, you know, and man, he is really – this guy's really doing some stuff. But anyway, no, I'm not a big fan of that. I think it's you know, I don't know. It's just not that good. But back to what I was saying, implications. To me, this is the most meaningful game, the most impactful game, and here's why. There's 3 reasons. Obviously, super meaningful within the ACC, you know, on the Pacific side, clearly. Louisville already beat Florida State, so if they go ahead and beat Clemson, I'm not just going to give it to them. But, hey, it's going to be close to that. You know what I mean? It really will, having to beat the top two teams on that side. And then you got, you know, the implications on the national level. When you have two top five teams going at it, guess what? That's pretty damn good. And then what makes it all the way the most impactful game thus far, you got the Heisman hopefuls, Lamar Jackson and Deshaun Watson, you know, duking it out. So to me, those are three reasons why I say this is the big one. This is the biggest game because of all those implications. Now, maybe Clemson or Louisville doesn't win the national championship or doesn't even make it. They only make it to the, you know, to the Final Four. They make it in the playoff, but they don't even make it in the national championship game. But I'm saying week five, the most important game because of the list of reasons I gave you. Now, obviously, Louisville's back on the map. Clearly, when they whooped FSU, they put them back on the map, clearly. It's funny because Clemson is actually looking a lot like they did early last year. Now the question is, will they turn it up and come together and really get it done? You know what I mean? This is a huge game for them, obviously. Their offense have, for me, massively underachieved. And it just goes to show you how important those five guys are, you know, on the offensive line in the trench there. You can have all these weapons, and that's great, but that can really cause some issues. Now, this game's in Clemson, so definitely the crowd's going to be going nuts. It's a big, big moment that Lamar Jackson has yet to experience being the number three team, the third team ranked, and being really the leader. I know, you know, McCaffrey and some other guys, but right now, number, just sheer numbers wise, you'd have to favor Lamar Jackson for the Heisman, just numbers wise. Quarterback too. That usually always, you know, that usually makes them clear. Now, last year Louisville beat an A&M team that is a little similar the way they're built, Clemson anyway, in 2016. Not last year, but this year. Because A&M improved last year, and you can tell they've you know, gone on and kept improving. But to me, that kind of stands out as an example. Here's what this game comes down. Well, actually, I'll let you go in on this, too, before we pick this game. And it's almost like a coin flip, just because is Louisville really going to go 62-20-something again? You know, I doubt it.
I just wonder, Chris, if to tie into Florida State from a couple years back, that year they made their run, there was kind of like those games where you just kind of the games we kind of walked through, and maybe Clemson has been free blocking because again they did lose to Lane Kiffin, second drop into the show, last year in the national title game, but. They got a lot of praise coming into the season. They're like, okay, you know, it's them and Bama, top two dogs. And so far, Clemson had a hiccup. They almost lost to Auburn. You know, they looked a little sluggish. Maybe this is that first game of the year that reminds them, oh, by the way, guys, like, you know, we're a pretty, you know, pretty damn good football team. Let's start rolling. Compared to Louisville, who, as you mentioned, has just been on fire. You know, got the quarterback Heisman. They made Florida State look like, you know, Florida Atlantic Tech. I don't know. I think that we see that Clemson team that shadows more of them from last year than the team we've seen so far this year that did kind of sneak out of Auburn and play at a school like Troy, where you're like, dude, you guys are supposed to be good. Like, what's happening? Maybe it's been sleepwalk mode. Now we need to step up again. That we can't afford to get smacked in this one. Let's go. So I think we're going to see a side of Clemson we haven't seen all year, Chris. But for my pick, I'm taking the young Lamar Jackson upset win.
Lamarvious.
Chris, media's going to go nuts. I'm taking upset win at Clemson, and I think Louisville gets it done and moves up in – well, I don't know if they can move up in the rankings, but solidifies a top legit contending team with a win on the road.
Couple of things. They will move up in the rankings. Florida Atlantic Tech is a pretty good squad, dude. Okay? No, I'm just kidding. And three.
Oh, Lord.
the recruits. And three, Clemson did not lose to your guy in Alabama. They lost to Nick Saban, the head coach. Don't know if you've heard about him. They didn't lose.
Good old Lane Kiffin drew up some halftime plays that resulted in touchdowns. What kind
right.
of OC draws up plays off top of his head?
Key word there, good.
Game?
The key word is there is good. It's good. You know, there's better than good, though, isn't there? No, here's the deal. When you bring up Alabama.
Roll Tide.
When you bring up Alabama, there's a pecking order. And he's not number one. Let's just put it this way. Now, here's the deal.
It depends who you're asking.
Exactly. One person on the plant. Two, his wife and Marshall. And his kids, I guess. Oh, his kids be like, nah, dude, I'm siding with him. Here's the deal. I will say this. Deshaun Watson technically has less pressure on his shoulders being surrounded by better weapons than Lamar Jackson, okay? So he doesn't have to do every single thing, which it feels like Lamar Jackson's doing right now. You know, I just mentioned that stat earlier. The guy is doing everything. He's responsible for 7 touchdowns in multiple games, first time in 10 years. It's ridiculous. This game literally is a coin flip. And when I flipped it, it landed on the home team. Clemson 38-34, 18-22-year-olds. Yeah, they play like crap, but all of a sudden you'd be like, where the hell has this team been? So I'm going to call for Clemson to get her done. And I shouldn't say I'm going to call for that because that's totally Steele's line. I can't be taking his lines. That's pretty horse shit of me, okay? Now, there's a couple other games that I want to go over, and of course I'm sure some will stand out to you. It's a top 25 matchup, but it doesn't feel like it. Number 11, Tennessee, at number 25, Georgia, right? So we'll talk about that. Talk about an important game here early in the Big 12 season. Number 22, Texas. This falls under my hardcore barn burner. Yeah, not a lot of people are talking about this. Yeah, some early losses on both sides, you know, have taken any kind of talk or hype that would be attached to this matchup. But once that ball kicks off, they're going to be into it. Texas against Oklahoma State. That is going to be a barn burner, no doubt about it. I also think that the Arizona State Sun Devils and USC Trojans will be a fun game. USC's favored by 10 in that game. I have the Saturday
oh,
night.
Lord.
Yeah, they are. I have the Saturday upset special. That's my upset special. I got them not just covering the spread, which I think that they'll do. I got them upsetting them, but I wouldn't doubt if USC pulls their head out of their ass. Obviously, big game for Minnesota. I know the whole nation's talking about it. They're traveling the Happy Valley, which is not happy at the present time. They're hurting on defense, Penn State. They have all of their starting linebackers out. I think 5 total guys out. Man, if Minnesota could sneak that one out, the confidence it would give them going to that Iowa game would definitely be a big, big deal, no doubt about it. A couple of hardcore games out there, Michigan versus Central Michigan.
You give me a hard time for mentioning Lane Kiffin, and then you say the whole nation's talking about Minnesota? Huh.
But I said a joke.
Chris, interesting.
It sounded
pretty serious. Sounded pretty serious. Just saying.
And then a couple other games here. Remember last year, I got this one in my against the spread segment, or not segment,
all right.
Category. Against the spread, Memphis straight up beat Ole Miss last year. I don't think that's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
I got to pull off that again. However, I believe that the Memphis Tigers will outperform as a 14.5-point underdog. I see them covering that. I also see Oregon State covering against Colorado as a 17.5-point underdog. I think that will happen as well. Let's talk about Tennessee, Georgia. Let's talk about Texas, Oklahoma State. Let's talk about some of these games, man. Kind of under the radar, you know, because of the those top three, you know, games of the week.
You know, for Tennessee, I've met a Tennessee fan. She lives down here in Texas as well. And it just kind of seems to be those teams that every week's a heartbreaking grind. They barely snuck by Ohio University, not Ohio State with my Ohio University. And then you get down and have a massive comeback against Florida. It's like the team has the identity of, when you're a fan of, we're either going to be, you know, up big and let the team come back, or down huge and come back for a win. It's just kind of every game's kind of a heartbreaking, you know, tendency to watch. Clearly, we mentioned about Tennessee a lot last year, Chris. They're going in the right direction. They have a coach. They got the quarterback in Dobbs, and the kid's a pretty good stud. And last year, they seemed to always follow a great game with a bad game. You know, win a game by a field goal, lose a game by a touchdown. We'll see if this is a different Tennessee team. You know, you can either have a hangover that will hurt you in college football, or you can build up that momentum. You'd assume Tennessee's riding high, and Georgia's kind of like, dude, we got lucky throughout the whole start of the season, and someone finally smacked us. I'm picking Tennessee. I mean, from Georgia's track record, they skated by, someone to start the year. They skated by my Mizzou Tigers, I'm sorry.
University of frickin' Nichols.
Oh yeah,
it's one of them.
Yeah, frickin' Nichols. They scored on a 4th-and-10 touchdown with under a minute to go against my Mizzou boys, and then Ole Miss said, "Dude, we ain't taking this show you've been putting on. We're just gonna roll you," and they smacked them. So I think Tennessee's got the confidence. And Georgia's is kind of maybe just a below average team that got smacked, and I don't think they'll bounce back. So I like Tennessee. It's weird to pick them because, as we've learned, they seem to kind of go up and down and disappoint you at times. But what has Georgia truly done this year besides sneak out a victory in Columbia and barely beat Nichols? I like the Volunteers, Chris, and I think that hopefully this will be a step up in the right direction for them, and instead of blowing the game, they'll build off that great comeback win and use it to their advantage.
Yeah, they stormed back. I'll give them credit. They really never let them back in the game, Florida. But man, it didn't look good early. They were down 21-3. They definitely can't do that. Of course, Georgia, you know, their offensive line. Are they going to be able to create space for the slew of talented running backs that they have? Obviously, Nick Chubb and Sony Michael and another dude that I forgot his name. They got the players that way. Both teams, I've noticed, like you mentioned, have played to the opponent, the opponent's level, beyond getting crushed last week by Ole Miss when they actually had to face an opponent. Oh, North Carolina was pretty good too, though. I think being at home and the desperation keeps it relatively close and interesting in the fourth quarter, but I got a 31-21 Tennessee. I don't know. I really think that they're gonna do it. And let's see, like you said, let's see if Tennessee can build off of this, because at some point you can't keep playing the same way if you're gonna grow. I mentioned that Texas Oklahoma State game. Both teams feature explosive offense and suspect defense. To me, that's a perfect ingredient for a great game, man. I don't know who's gonna win this one, but this is going to be a fun game, Texas-Oklahoma State. And if they want to, you know, kind of right the ship off of some early losses, this is a good way to do it.
Yeah, Texas's secondary is just garbage, Chris. It sucks. And I don't think that Oklahoma State's defense is much better, so I would highly recommend maybe betting the over, or at least staying away from looking at the under. Obviously, as like I mentioned before, another girl I met down here, Todd, was a teacher in high school for the Texas quarterback, and that Boucher, the kid throws a good deep ball. So Texas's offense, along with the, as you mentioned, 18-wheeler option. Texas has a good offense. Man, that secondary, you just kind of wonder how Texas can be going in the right direction but still lack a good safety or cornerback. And every time I see Oklahoma State this year on ESPN, it's either them scoring a 60-yard touchdown or giving up one. So, again, maybe who has the ball last, which quarterback, you know, avoids that fingertip, interception that bounces off the helmet.
Yeah.
I like Texas just because I think they maybe are a little more skilled this year. But, man, that game's probably going to be, high 30s, low 40s, just explosive.
71 is the over-under, by the way.
Yeah, I that's probably a pretty damn good guess, and I wouldn't bet the under.
I
maybe lean towards the over or just kick your feet up and enjoy watching, not many punts. So I'll go Longhorns. I like him to win, but, yes, that'll definitely be a game for those fans who enjoy, moving the ball up and down the field and not so much a defensive battle.
Yeah, definitely. Explosive offense, suspect defense, like I said, perfect ingredient for a hell of a game. And I agree. I think Texas will find a way to get it. 2 weeks ago, the numbers that on offense that Oklahoma State put up, oh, my goodness. I went over it on the show, but holy crap, dude. It was that Washington, that wide receiver, my goodness, that dude is a baller, no doubt about that. I got Texas too, but I'm not sure about it at all. It literally is a flip of the coin as well. My Miami Hurricanes are ranked because people have lost in front of them. That's why they're ranked as high as they are, to be honest with you. Now, I'll say this, because they're number 14, which is, they haven't done anything. There's plenty of teams that haven't done anything to earn a ranking, but Appalachian State, that game was kind of like, all right, dude, let's see if you guys are good this year or not. You need to beat this team. Obviously, they gave Tennessee all sorts of fits. They probably should have won that game, with Tennessee. But freaking A, man, they smashed them. They smashed them, and they stuffed that run, which they're really good at, legitimately good at. So they got a game, Georgia Tech, the old triple option where you don't know who's got the ball until it's too late and there's a guy out 5 yards, they pitch it, and nobody's over there, and you're like, well, what the hell happened? Or they hit you deep. But we'll see. That's one that I'm keeping an eye on, no doubt about it. I already mentioned my Gophers as well. There was another game I wanted to talk about. I just had my eyes on it, too. It was, Oklahoma at TCU. Wow. Oklahoma's 1-2. Now, we know that they've faced some good teams in that stretch. TCU got beat by Arkansas 2 weeks ago. They're still ranked, but they're 3-1. They're a good squad, no doubt about it. That's an interesting one. Also, Utah and Cal. Cal's 2-2, but they're at home, and we saw that they're capable of something when they beat Texas, no doubt about it. They definitely showed me a little bit more than I thought they had in them. What is that? There was one more game. I can't remember. Oh, well, I was going to talk about Arizona State and USC. Your Trojans are playing football in Division I, Pac-12. That's my preview. Marshall, did you fall off? Are you mad at me? What happened? You muted? Did you mute yourself?
I'm back. I'm back.
That's all right.
Those USC Trojans, man, it's always something. They did lose on a Hail Mary to Arizona State a couple of years ago. I feel it's happened twice in the last couple of years. Again, if I said stay away from the over-under in Oklahoma State, Texas, I would say double stay away because this game is always like mid-40s. And there really does need to be a whole lot of insight broken down in this game because every time USC plays Arizona State, they get up in the first half by like 15 or 20, and then in the second half, in the game always seems to be played at Arizona State, they come back, and then I almost have like a heart attack watching the game. So just trust my knowledge of first half, USC looks great. Second half, will they hold on to the lead or will they blow it? And that's how USC rolls. That's my hot take on that game, Chris. And
Arizona-UCLA should be a good game, too, just to throw that in there. You got any other games you want to talk about beyond the crafty pick? And by the way, if you don't make the show, text me the crafty pick. I forgot to tell you that.
We'll do. Well, I will say that speaking of our teams, and we did start the show off with Les Miles, the Mizzou Tigers do play LSU this week. I believe they're an 11-point dog. Missouri's offense is improving. We had a couple of games last year. We didn't score a touchdown, which as a fan, watching a college football game and your team doesn't score a touchdown, it's hard to stomach, but they're making steps. And on one hand, Chris, you could say that Missouri is playing LSU at the perfect time, or maybe they're playing at the awful time. I don't know. I guess it depends on what kind of locker room mood the team is in and kind of what mindset they have. But this could be a nice win. And again, you know, despite if you're a Missouri fan, despite what LSU's done, it's still nice to have a potential win that says LSU on your schedule. Who cares about their BS going on? If you beat them, that's still a good one to have on your resume. So I'm hoping to pull out a victory there. Speaking of pulling out victories, the last time we did do a show, we mentioned our adopted son team of the Raging Cajuns, and that was the game against the Southern Alabama Jags, and the Raging Cajuns did win. They won 28-23. And, you know, when you walk into a Raging Cajun
field. And that
field,
snuck under the spread, didn't it? Because wasn't it 3 or something like that?
Mm-hmm. You just barely walked out the door, Chris.
Just snuck in.
You, Two and zero on the year. 2-0 on the year. So Chris is riding high. Again, we will have a Raging Cajun update for you this week just because they're kind of our – if we had a sponsor for this show, it'd be their football team. It is what it is. We love those boys for no reason other than we seem to talk about them every year. That's the best answer I got.
They just stuff people. It's fun to watch. It's like the mid to late 80s Hurricane squad with defense, dude. They just play great.
And for the crafty vet, crappy pick of the week, I found another great game for you, Chris. You know, when you think of these teams, you think about basketball. Okay. Actually, we'll do this. Since I did miss last week, I'll double up for you. We're doing
hold on,
two crappy
dude.
Picks.
Hold the phone. That's not fair. This shit's hard enough, okay? That's on you. Not me. You can pick one if you want, but nah, I'm good. That's
all
on
right,
you,
so,
dog.
So get, so, okay,
I'm not
so
doing
I'm looking
two
at two. I'm looking at two games. Pick option A or option B. Then I can decide which one I want. Door A or door B.
I'm gonna go door A. I'm gonna go with your first instinct.
Door A. All right. Now door B was Florida Atlantic against Florida International. So you're passing up the Florida Bowl. Which you might remember.
Man.
But,
which one's
okay.
With the technical college?
So this game features the Old Dominion Monarchs, who I believe are normally okay at basketball, against the Charlotte 49ers, who are the stepchild of Carolina, Duke, NC State, anyone else in the state of North Carolina, South Carolina. The Old Dominion Monarchs, Chris, are a 9-point favorite on the road against the Charlotte 49ers. I'm not sure if there's gold in Charlotte, but there might be. I don't believe these teams have ever made our crappy pick of the week, but they have
Jesus.
Now. So, and normally,
for good reason.
The home team's
in for good reason.
Normally, the home team is favored, but you got a 9-point Old Dominion Monarch. I'm not a monarch. I'm thinking it's a bird, unless there's some other mythical term. You have birds.
Well, there's a
against
government
digging for gold.
There's a government system,
you know?
That's a monarch. Yeah, I guess we could go there too.
There could be some Brits on the team. I'm not sure that's possible. There could be some Europeans on the squad.
Play there,
you know, And gold, apparently there's gold on the East Coast. It's not just in San Fran. So birds against gold diggers, Chris. What is your take on the Monarchs being a 9-point favorite with an over-under of 60? They're on the road taking 9. Vegas says, we believe in you, Monarchs. We believe in you, Old Dominion.
You're right. This would be a hell of a mid-major college basketball game right here. I mean, this could be to decide a
tournament berth.
Yeah, you're right. During the week on a Tuesday and shit like that. Yeah, that's a good point. Well, let's go over the stats, which is my favorite point of this. And you did pick out a doozy. You did pick out a doozy. Because although I could see why Vegas likes Old Dominion, because they're only given 30. They're only giving up 30. So that's not a bad thing when it comes to this. They're giving up more than they score at 29-30, but they're only giving up 30. So I can understand why Vegas is in love with these guys, because the squad that they're giving up 42.3 a game. Ooh-wee. But I'll tell you what, a lot of it's through the air for both of these teams, if you look at it defensively as far as getting it up, because they're not that bad at rush defense for college football. Now, you know, if you're giving up 152 in the pros, you're getting your ass kicked time in and time out. You're probably going to be Detroit 0-16, but not in the college ranks. That's not horrible. However,
no.
To give up 323 yards in the air, that, my friend, is horrible. That, my friend, is horrible. You know, it's funny. Last year they lost to FAU 33-31. So that doesn't help me. Let me take a look at here. I'll tell you this. They've been losing, but they've faced a better talent. They've faced a better opposition, Charlotte has. Charlotte has faced a little bit better. They've gotten their, you know, they don't win the games, but they're better. You know what? I'm gonna go Old Dominion. I'm with Vegas. I'm with Vegas on this.
Okay.
I think they gotta. Okay, so they gotta win by. You said 10. They gotta
win
by 11.
Nine. Yeah. They gotta win by 10. It's a 9-point spread.
Okay. All right. Jeez, man. Just because I think a lot of it will be through the air, I'm gonna go with that. I'm going to go Old Dominion. I'm going Old Dominion to win this mid-major, mid-week conference title game in college basketball. That's what I'm going
with. Man, that's good, Chris. That's good.
42 goddamn points. How do you even give up 42 points? By the way, speaking of 42 points, 42-7 – you know, last year the Cougars had some problems with Connecticut. Actually, I think that's the team that beat them. Well, it's 42-13
I believe you're
now.
Right, yeah.
It's 42-13 now. I was going to actually give them a little spread love because of what they did last year. I'm glad I did not. 42-13, 8 minutes left, 8:42 left in the fourth. And over on FS1, another team that we've talked about, KU, not talked about nicely, but we talk about them. They're taking on Texas Tech 28-15, and they just got back in the game. They were down 28-8 or whatever. So they just scored early in the third now, 28-15. So keep an eye on that score. That could get interesting. What else you got for me, friend, before we skedaddle out of here?
I might have missed this, buddy, but do you like your Hurricanes to go for the win? I knew you broke it down, but I didn't hear a pick from you.
I think so. You know, the fact that the style of player that we get usually, especially at the linebacker position, for Miami, they're good at this. And they've actually done a pretty, like if you look at the last, let's say, 5-6 years, they've done a pretty good job against this, what can be a neck wrenching, like where the hell's the ball thing with the triple option, especially the way they run the triple option, which is, you know, top team or the top teams. I know Georgia Southern years back ran it really well and actually played the closest game of the year from Alabama was against Georgia Southern, if you can believe that. But I think Miami's going to get it done. Now, I spoke of linebackers. Here's the deal. Our offseason was not kind to linebackers. One dude hurt himself really bad. The other dude who was going to start, he didn't make it back in time to start this year yet. Now he's starting to turn the corner on his ACL from last year. So that's good because he's at least a junior. So that helps. But our stud, our senior stud, got kicked off the team for a car dealership. They were going to, you know, some fucking agent talking to him, basically, is what it was.
Yeah.
So that's they had, they got, you know, in Miami, we do stuff early. What? Yeah, get him off the team. You know what I mean? We don't want any problems here.
No, we'll
find ourselves. Please, you know, so unfortunately, what normally would be about a 2-game suspension, we booted that dude. So basically what I'm saying is 2 out of the 3 starting and 3 out of the 4 first line depth is gone. We're starting 3 freshmen, although at linebacker. Although that dude who was like a junior is starting to get back, so he'll play. But the two dudes are studs at freshmen, though. They came in as early enrollees, which we do know helps a lot. So I think that they're not going to be as lost. Plus, speaking of Miami defensive player, right? Finally, this coordinator that we got, Diaz, he pulled his head out of his ass. Well, actually, the old coach didn't. He went with that compliment. You know, they just talked about Notre Dame and how that guy got canned because they run an NFL defense that's way too complicated for college kids. And we're talking about Notre Dame college kids. They're smart dudes. They couldn't pick it up. Well, that's what the dude was doing the last 4 years here for Miami. He was running this crazy, hyper, just random stuff where you're like, dude, you got these guys thinking, you know what I mean? Whereas this is your job, attack. And that's what Miami's known for. So I think that we got a better defensive game plan with the style of guys we got. So long, very long-winded, I got Miami.
Okay, and I do see now that Missouri went from
somehow,
11.
Some way, 1917 kick at the end.
And to add on that, I do see Missouri's now a 13-point dog at LSU. So I don't think we'll walk it. Damn, it's at night, too. Yeah. And we got to play them at 6:30 in the Valley. I would assume that crowd.
How many blades
kind of
grass do you think is going to be ingested this week?
I'm not sure. I don't know if it's Oregon, you know. We'll see.
But I'm saying not him. I'm saying the crowd bringing like a blade of grass or something. Be like, here you go, Les. Sorry, buddy.
Yep.
I'm going to go eat some grass right
for,
now.
Pulling out for the old coach. Man, this show has been derailed. We've definitely opened the floodgates on our sense of humor this year. Now, maybe that's what our show needed, a little more flavor. But I'm hoping Mizzou can get a win. I know winning at LSU at night's very tough, but we're maybe catching them at a great time. Maybe they're going to be inspired and kick our butt. I guess we'll see. But, man, I mean, LSU, Mizzou, and Oklahoma, TCU are two pretty darn good games, along with your Gophers, Penn State. But, I mean, those are just a bunch of appetizers. This weekend should be incredible. And like I said, this will be a very fun weekend to say, hey, are these guys real? And I think that are these guys real meter definitely applies to wrap up the show of Washington. I don't know the last time they've been in this big of a game, Chris. And same thing with Louisville. Okay, we got a potential Heisman. He's been raking people up and down the field. Let's see what you got. You know, obviously, and Michigan, Wisconsin. I mean, you know, that should be a gruesome Big Ten game, but it'll be a much better feeling as to, okay, what the heck's going on this year. And to finish our show, Chris, just so you know, our Louisiana Lafayette Raging Cajuns are a 5-point favorite on the road at New Mexico State Aggies, who are normally one of the worst teams in football. So so I wish our Raging Cajuns well as they continue
at
to fight.
At least Vegas
for,
finally caught up to this squad.
I know. We're going for a bowl game this year, Chris. I want our Raging Cajuns to make the bowl. I believe last year they had 5 wins. I'm aiming for 6 this year. I believe in the squad, so I might even have to bet them for a little bit of luck because New Mexico State sucks. So go Raging Cajuns to kind of put out a nice little sport note since this is a sport show for us. Not to finish on a down note, but rest in peace to Jose Fernandez. Normally, obviously, in sports, it provides a lot of happiness moments in our life. It's why, you know, I've become friends. It's kind of how I've decided to have my career based off is to be a coach in sports. But I honestly, when I got a text from my buddy saying Jose Fernandez has passed, I was assuming it was a soccer player because my good friend's a huge soccer fan. I assumed it's someone I had not heard of. So when the realization kicked in, it was a top 10 pitcher in baseball at worst. Unfortunately, he was passed. So that was
young guy too.
Young guy, you know,
24 years old.
And it was a guy that played baseball with like a fun style to him. You know, people seem to kind of take shots at Bryce Harper or this guy. They played baseball with an attitude to him that wasn't cocky, but you just tell they were having fun. And Jose Fernandez's mom and grandma would always go to the games. The dude was just a good pitcher. He hit a couple of home runs. He was just a perfect person for the sport in a generation where kids need a guy like him to be like, man, baseball can be pretty cool. So very, very sad outcome in a day where he passed, Arnold Palmer passed, Miles got fired. Sunday was quite an emotional time. So rest in peace to him. That was a very unfortunate event. I hope that doesn't happen to athletes at all anytime soon, especially one as young and talented as him. But aside from all the fun we have, sometimes you got to acknowledge moments like that too. So anyways, I can't wait for next week. If I have to skip a class of teaching, I will. I will not miss next week because we have a lot of games to talk about, along with our boys from Lafayette down south. So Chris and I will be back next week. That is a guaranteed stamp approval. If I have to call in late or sneak out of class or something, we'll make it happen because we have a lot of great games to break down. And I got to mention Lane Kiffin at least twice next week or I might get fired from this podcast. So take care. Have a good weekend. Stay safe. Chris and I'll be back. Peace.